The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I wanted to get to Monday Night Football, but that's the thing about being on at 2 in the afternoon on the East Coast. News breaks. All of a sudden, Monday Night Football's old news. Giannis with the Supermax, $228.2 million extension with the Bucks. By the way, he wanted to stay with the Bucks. I think the Milwaukee owners, those three hedge fund, whatever they are guys, played Milwaukee really cheap when they let Malcolm Brogdon walk out the door. And the reason they played them cheap is when you make trades, like if you're a destination like Milwaukee, it's not New York or L.A. If you're a destination like Milwaukee, no top-level free agent from another team is ever going to sign with you, ever. It's never going to happen. It has never happened. It never will happen. So, because you're not a warm weather city, you're not a tax-free state, you're not a major metropolitan area compared to not just metropolitan, but cosmopolitan areas, right? And so, when you have to strike when the iron's hot, you got to build it through the draft, and then sign guys, because the way the NBA system works is you can bust through the salary cap if it's your own guys. You have what's called their bird rights, right? It's not a hard cap in the NBA. It's a soft cap. You can exceed the cap if the guy's already on your team. So if you have a player like Brogdon, even if you don't want to keep him long term, if he's not enough of a superstar to be the answer to keep Giannis, then you got to sign him at least so that at a later date you can trade him. He's an asset. Even if it's just salaries matching up. Chris Paul's available. Great, let's get Chris Paul in here. But they didn't do it. So they brought in Drew Holiday. That was good. But Drew Holiday already worked with AD. And they got to the playoffs. They didn't make any noise in the playoffs. Is Giannis better than AD? Even if you think he is, by a hair, most people right now would say AD is better than Giannis. So, a great big like Giannis, and even though he kind of looks like a wing when you squint, he's really a big, is only going to go as far as the non-big that you pair him with is great. In other words, Shaq couldn't get it done with Penny. Penny was great, but not great enough. Kobe was great enough. Wade was great enough. Drew Holiday's an excellent player. Is that going to be enough? The Bogdanovich deal fell through. What do they got? Mirotić would have been good. He went to Europe. He was on the team. He was hurt for most of it, but he went to Europe. If they had Mirotić and Brogdon to kind of swing a Chris Paul trade with, and you had Drew Holiday, and the Bogdanovich trade went through, then maybe you have enough to win a single championship. It is gangster in the NBA. But $228 million may be the right idea. You know what? Get your money now. You work out a trade later if Milwaukee can't build around you. Giannis said, "This is my home. This is my city." He wrote this on Twitter, confirming reports of his five-year extension. "I'm blessed to be able to be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks for the next 5 years. Let's make these years count. The show goes on. Let's get it." All right, Knicks fans. That's another star you won't be getting. I used to be one of you until I smartened up. Hey, Knicks fans, don't worry about Giannis. Just become Nets fans. They're in Brooklyn. That's fine. They're not in Jersey anymore. You can be Nets fans. KD looked pretty good in his first game back off a catastrophic injury. Looked pretty smooth. Kyrie may be talking crazy, but he can ball. Yeah, Giannis ain't going anywhere. All right. I got to talk about the Monday Night Football game. What a game. Back and forth. And by the way, Lamar Jackson really did something. So did Baker Mayfield, but Lamar really did something. The Ravens had the game in hand. They had a comfortable lead until Lamar left the game. Then the Browns come right back on him. Right? Lamar showed his value. Now, McSorley or whoever, there's no one comparable to Lamar, especially if RG3 is not available, who can approximate what Lamar can do. Yeah, I get it. But the Ravens were in the driver's seat until Lamar leaves the game. Now, what happens when Lamar leaves the game? The Browns come back on him, and they got the lead. And then, by the way, because of injury, on fourth down, fourth and five, Lamar is inserted back into the game. And by the way, there's been a lot of joking around about he was in the bathroom at the time that he had to come back in. You saw him in the hallway kind of trying to loosen up. If he says he has cramps, I believe him. If he says he quote, didn't pull a Paul Pierce, Paul's my dude, I believe him. Why? He would admit that? You think he'd be embarrassed? I don't think so. Point is, a guy is kind of hobbled by injury, even if it's internal, and comes out of the game with the lead. Now the backup quarterback blows it, and the backup quarterback gets hurt, third string quarterback, really, and Lamar comes back into the game. And what's the knock about Lamar? The knock on Lamar is, can he beat you with his arm? With the chips on the line, right? There are two issues. Can he be a good enough passer to win in the playoffs? And can he do anything well enough when the lights shine brightest? Like when they play the Chiefs. That's a must-win game if you're in the AFC. He's 0-for in his career against the Chiefs. Like when you play the Roethlisberger Steelers. He beat the Roethlisberger-less Steelers last year. But can you beat him with Roethlisberger? They've linked up once because Lamar missed the second game with COVID, and Lamar lost. Can you win in the playoffs, right, against the Titans? No, you can't win in the playoffs. So you're 0-for-6 when the lights shine brightest, and you've beaten good teams like Seattle and other good teams, you know, because the lights weren't as bright. You know, it wasn't must win. It was be nice to win. I don't want to hear that good teams are Lamar's problem. He's beaten good teams. It's teams he must beat that are the issue. And were the Browns the teams he had to beat? Yeah, because they're fighting for their playoff lives. And the Browns are in their division, little brother coming up in the world. The Ravens had to not only show him who's boss, but they got to win every game if they want to get into the playoffs, right? Because they were eighth. Seven are going to the playoffs, and they're sitting in the eighth slot. And the Browns are in their division, and they were, you know, only three losses coming into the game. Yeah, that's a light shine brightest game. That is a must win game. And he comes in the fourth quarter. I mean, here's one of the annoying things about radio and TV in the time of COVID. I have all my stuff. Raj is my producer in LA. I'm in New York, and I have a computer and a cell phone and all my information up here as though I'm in a studio, right? And people keep texting me about stuff like from First Take and friends of mine. And so every time I'm trying to concentrate, I get more texts on my screen. I just wiped another one away. Now I got to put my, I'll lose a screen. Anyway, so Lamar comes into the game with that question mark. Can he do it when it counts? And can he do it with his arm? And on the first play, on fourth down, he doesn't have any time to get ready or anything. It's fourth. Not fourth and long, but fourth and five, game on the line. He throws the go-ahead touchdown. He uses his legs. He scrambles. He rolls out to his right. And he could have picked up the first down with his legs, but he sees an open receiver and throws a beautiful pass. I mean, it's not like a bullet that only Lamar Jackson could throw, but it had really nice touch. I know it's like it's wide open and all that. I get it, but that's a professional pass, and it's for the touch. And by the way, and by the fact that he could escape the pressure, the fact that the threat of his speed kept them honest. All those things helped. Yeah, but that's to Lamar's credit. Now they go ahead. Now Baker gets the ball, and you see Baker. I love this. They cut to him on the sidelines after the touchdown, and he's sitting there nodding to himself, like, "Okay, my turn." I loved what I saw from Baker. The lesson in sports is, when you know, patience. And when you run out of patience, more patience. And I learned that every time, and I forgot it with Baker because I was good. I was high on Baker. Finally, I said, okay, that's it. I've had it. But the fact is he's had four head coaches in a little over 2 years. Four head coaches. Remember Alex Smith, former number one overall pick? All those offensive coordinators early wasn't good until he got stability. Same thing with Baker. Stefanski and Baker are clicking now. Baker's on a great team or a very talented team with running backs, an underrated defense. They're low average. Receivers, the whole thing, it's he and Odell are better off apart from each other, obviously. Both of those guys would be better off apart. But Baker's not, okay, I got this. And he takes him right down the field and scores. Right down the field and scores. And now the ball's back to Lamar, right? Now, you got the greatest field goal kicker ever and everything. I get that, at least at this point in his career, Justin Tucker. You got to get him in field goal range. Four completions, they're in field goal range, just like that. He and Andrews linked up a couple times. Like, Lamar got it right back. It ain't Willis Reed because this ain't the finals, right? They ain't playing the Lakers in the finals. It's not the Knicks against the Lakers in the finals in 69-70. But with a season on the line where you were a powerhouse last year, a lot of people thought the best team in football, with a divisional rival who's feeling themselves, who you destroyed week one but has come up in the world since then, Lamar Jackson coming off of COVID, coming off the roughest patch not only of this season but really of his career, questions abound. Comes in on fourth down, throws the go-ahead touchdown, and then Baker answers, and then he answers with four completions, and they win it on a field goal? That's big stuff from Lamar Jackson. It really is. If you're looking, it's not, look, he can't win in the playoffs. He can't prove he's, until the playoffs. Can't do it. But Monday Night Football in a must-win game against the divisional rival with cramps or whatever it was, that was big stuff and one of the best games of the year. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Matt's. Is it Matt's? Hey, Matt's. I'm Matt's.
Yes.
Matt's in Los Angeles. What's going on, Matt's?
Giannis missed his chance winning a championship in Miami by joining Jimmy, and now will be stuck in Milwaukee ringless for the rest of his career.
I think it's likely he will be ringless in Milwaukee because, as I said, if you're in a town like Milwaukee, you have small windows. So, you know, with Kareem, they won one. They brought in Oscar Robertson, they won one. But you have small windows to win. And if you have a guy like Brogdon who's an asset and you don't want to pay luxury tax money so you let him walk out the door, you deserve what you get. That was their – if they would have kept Brogdon, he'd have been a tradable asset. And when, for example, Chris Paul is on the market, maybe you can make the best deal for Chris Paul – or someone like that, or you could put together the most attractive package maybe for Harden, although from what I understand, Harden and Giannis maybe don't work together. But yeah, I agree. I don't see a title in Milwaukee. Not as is. Meantime, got to get the I want to get the Giants schedule up. See, this is why I have the cell phone in front of me. And people won't stop texting me, and it's unbelievable. It's impossible. All right, here we go. Giants schedule. That's right. It's the Browns first and then the Ravens. Do you understand, Giants fans? The two teams you saw last night, Browns and then Ravens, is next up. Now, Washington is a game up on the Giants, on my beloved Big Blue New York Football Giants. They're a game up. The Giants get the Cowboys last game of the season. The Giants have to go 2-1, and Washington has to go 1-2 for the Giants to win the division because they've swept the season series. They have the tiebreaker, beat Washington twice. Who, by the way, you know what Washington did to the Cowboys this year? 2-0, a combined score of 66-19. They beat the brakes off the Cowboys. But the Giants have won both games against Washington. Now, the FPI chances to win for the New York Football Giants up on ESPN Plus right now, 47% chance to beat the Browns at Giants Stadium, right? But on the road, only a 22% chance to beat the Ravens and a 65% chance at home to beat the Cowboys, 65% chance last week of the season. I think the Giants have a good shot to beat these Browns. They got a good shot. I agree with FPI, a lesser chance to beat the Ravens, but I'm going to pick the Giants to beat the Browns. And I think a lot of what we saw from Daniel Jones this last week was his hamstring wasn't better. And if you take a mobile quarterback, like if Lamar couldn't have run last night, they'd have lost, right? Even when he came back into the game and was completing passes, his legs helped him escape pressure. Daniel Jones, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's a fast dude, and he was a stationary target. If he's not a stationary target against the Browns, I think the Giants' defense can get that done. Meantime, the question is, should they even play Daniel Jones if he's not healthy? Or could Colt McCoy win? Well, I mean, Colt McCoy beat the Seahawks. The defense did that, sure, but Colt McCoy was the quarterback, beat the Seahawks. I'd rather have a healthy Colt McCoy than a Daniel Jones who can't move. Went 11 for 21 with 127 yards, Daniel Jones, and he fumbled three times, and that's the real issue with him, like ball control, right? Coach Joe Judge said after the game that the Giants knew that Jones was in no condition to run. Guys, come on. If Daniel Jones can't run, he can't play. He's not good enough from the pocket, certainly not yet. And he has ball security issues. He can't play. But Coach Joe Judge, I have no regrets about playing him. We've made a calculation based on what we thought he could do as a player, but they thought wrong. This Sunday, they thought wrong. Can they beat the Browns that you just saw against the Ravens? I'll remind you, the Browns came back on the Ravens down 2 touchdowns with Lamar out of the game. Right? With a backup quarterback. Now, Colt McCoy's a backup quarterback. As backup quarterbacks go, solid. Solid average. I think that's what the Giants are dealing with. They get average-ish quarterback play from their starter. You know, average for a starter. If you lined up all the quarterbacks in the NFL, he'd be in the middle of the pack somewhere, maybe low middle. And Colt McCoy, same thing. Average backup quarterback play. Is that enough with this defense? I think so. The Giants' defense, when they can't stay on the field all game, but when the offense can do a little something, that defense, if it ain't elite, it's trending that way. Yeah, I think they can beat the Browns, particularly the emotional letdown of not only losing to Baltimore, but even if they felt like they had a moral victory, no moral victories in the NFL, I don't know, but even if they felt it's a moral victory the way they played Baltimore, there's an emotional letdown playing the Giants next the following week. You're on the road against a team who's coming off a bad loss, and I just don't think you're going to be as up for that game as they were for the Ravens. I think the Giants have a good chance to win, even with Colt McCoy. Ravens, I'm less optimistic about. And then the Cowboys, last week of the season. You know, meantime, when you look at Washington, they get the Eagles last week of the season. So you're like, okay, that's a win. Not so fast. Not so fast. The Eagles with Jalen Hurts versus Washington? I don't know. They just beat the best defense in the NFL. They just beat the Saints. Dino, is that how you say it in the Bronx? Or is it Deano?
No. Nah, Dino.
Dino. Well, they misspelled your name, I think. But go ahead, Dino.
What's up, man? I'm a huge fan of yours. Quick question. No problem. What do you think the Jets should do? You think the Jets should trade away Trevor Lawrence for like four picks like they did with Herschel Walker back in the Cowboys, or just stick with him?
If you have a chance to get Trevor Lawrence, you get Trevor Lawrence, unless Justin Fields, you like him more, then you get Justin Fields. But no, if you think that there's a real franchise quarterback, a guy who could be an elite quarterback, not a Sam Bradford who, Sam Darnold, who I thought coming out, he could be a B-plus quarterback for 15 years. I'm not talking about that, because he ain't that. I'm talking about a guy, and although the Jets have something to do with that, you know, it's hard to develop as a quarterback with the Jets because they're awful. I'm talking about a guy you think, this dude could be an all-pro quarterback. You take that guy. There's nothing more important than a quarterback in the NFL, except for maybe the head coach. But the Jets don't have a head coach, and, you know, sorry to say about Sam Darnold, they don't have a quarterback either. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Dino just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call online. He's still there. What's up, Dino? No. Now Raj got rid of him. First, Raj misspelled his name. Then he kept the bump on the line too long. And then he got rid of him when I was trying to talk to him. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Giannis just re-signed with the Bucks. What does that mean for the NBA?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, whose name I still don't pronounce well. Hey, Raj, let me hear you say Antetokounmpo.
You know how many times we bring up his name on the show? You know all I say? Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis or the freak.
Freak. I just left it alone.
He's agreed to a 5-year, $228.2 million max extension with the Milwaukee Bucks. Quote, this is my home, this is my city, Giannis wrote on Twitter. Confirming reports of his 5-year extension, quote, I'm blessed to be able to be a part of the Milwaukee Bucks for the next 5 years. Well, I would say he's blessed to make the $228.2 million. The Milwaukee Bucks part, they're blessed to have him. That's why they gave him the $228.2 million. Notice he didn't give them the money. Let's make these years count. The show goes on. Let's get it. Is he going to get a ring in Milwaukee? It's not even really the relevant question here. Let me explain here. Gather round, young children. Come to the radio and listen. Uncle Max is going to explain this to you. You know who the big winners were from yesterday other than Giannis, who got almost $250 million? Who's the big winner? Who is the big winner from yesterday? Is it the Milwaukee Bucks? Why, you think they have a championship roster? Well, with Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday was with AD. They didn't get anything done. AD's as good as Giannis. Right? You could argue who's better, but they're both, you know, top-notch. Similar in certain ways. At least in size. No, that's not enough. Well, they also have Middleton. Okay. Middleton's a nice player. In a great year, he's an all-star. 3-and-D guy. I get it. He's the third best player at best on the championship team, and maybe Drew Holiday could be the second best, but no, not if Drew Holiday can't be the second best player in a championship team if the third best is Middleton. And vice versa, right? And I'm not even sure that Holiday is better than Middleton. No. Chris Middleton could be the third best player in a championship team if the second best player is, say, Chris Paul, right? And by the way, then you need a fourth best player who's almost as good as Middleton. It's hard to win in the NBA. Look, the big winners, the big winner from the Giannis signing is the Los Angeles Lakers. Because Giannis, had he become a free agent, was going to be the balance of power player in the league, right? Giannis could choose a place and say, I'm going to go there, and they are now the favorites. For example, let's say Kristaps Porzingis stays healthy this year, and he and Luka are not enough to get them over the Lakers. And then Giannis is a free agent and says, you know what? I think I'd like to play for the Dallas Mavericks, if they could figure it out with the salary and everything. Yeah, now all of a sudden you go, oh, who's going to beat that team? The answer is no one, by the way, in case you're wondering. That's what the answer is. Right? Like, he's a balance of power. If he went to Miami, if Miami's knocking on the door, they can't get over the hump, and they just get Giannis, it's a wrap. But that's not the case now. He's staying put. So his team will continue to be a powerhouse that doesn't have quite enough around him. Maybe they'll get out of the East one year. They ain't going to win the chip. Not against these Lakers. Not again with Talen Horton Tucker. Oh, my God. This dude. Like, let him be an actual baller on this Lakers team, right? Caruso can play. People are talking about Kyle Kuzma as, like, one of the big three. A joke, right? But is Kyle Kuzma the fifth or even sixth best player on the Lakers? No. The Lakers, like, when a superstar like Giannis or Damian Lillard are, like, keep it thorough, right? They keep it 100, and they stay where they are in a market that's not attracted to free agents. When they do that, it's better for the status quo. It helps the team who's the best in the league at the moment. That's the Lakers. Because Lillard doesn't represent a tipping of the balance of power elsewhere. Because Giannis doesn't represent a shifting of the balance of power to the new team he joins. So status quo helps the Lakers. Giannis staying put just really helped the Lakers. If now you're looking around the league, okay, where's James Harden going to wind up? If James Harden winds up in Brooklyn and Brooklyn doesn't give up Kyrie for him, if James Harden winds up in Philadelphia and Philadelphia doesn't give Embiid or Simmons up for him, even then you might like the Lakers because of Harden's style of play and how it may or may not mesh with those other guys. But at least then you'd say, okay, maybe that's something. No, Giannis signing this deal, this is a day to celebrate in Los Angeles. Jimmy in Staten Island, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Max? How you doing? It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yep. Yeah, Jimmy, you too. Go. I don't know if you've ever spoken, but okay, go.
I just want to talk about the Brooklyn Nets. Yes. As far as how far do you think they can go? And with Giannis signing, do you think that they pose a threat to the Brooklyn Nets? And just one more thing also in regards to the Nets. Do you think that they need another trade, so they need to really push for this James Harden, or they'll be able to make it out the East without.
They might that trade. Listen. Whether or not they make it up the out of the East is totally how much KD has. Well, primarily, how much does KD have left? Is he still KD, or is he 80% of KD? 80% of KD. I'm not saying it's this type of player, but is the equivalent of, say, Paul George. And if you showed me a roster, okay, Paul George, Kyrie Irving, Caris LeVert, and Spencer Dinwiddie. Could that get out of the East past the Bucks? Maybe, maybe. It really depends on how Kyrie clicks, right? So that's the second most important thing. Does Kyrie make them less than the sum of their parts as he did in Boston, as he did in Brooklyn, as he has in Brooklyn so far? Or is the pairing of Kyrie with KD such that Kyrie's able to be the best version of himself? Because if Kyrie is the best version of himself and doesn't kind of detract from team chemistry, actually, if he can increase it and do his thing, have his, like, a top Kyrie season, yeah, I think the Nets get out of the East if KD's healthy. I don't think they'll beat the Lakers as is, but I think they'll face them in the finals if KD is KD and Kyrie can keep it together. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, 2 points quick. On Sunday, Joe Judge is going to start Colt McCoy and just let him play. And after that'll prove that he made a mistake the week before. But he won't admit that after the game. He'll say, well, right. Jones got hurt during the game. That's number one. Number two, why do people say the New York football Giants? It was 62 years ago the New York baseball Giants left. So you have to be 70 years old to remember the New York.
That's
now,
right.
How come we don't say the baseball St. Louis Cardinals when the football St. Louis Cardinals only left 25 years ago, but we say the New York football Giants.
Oh,
makes
you
no
got
sense
me.
To me.
That's right. You got me. Now, who's that? Richard in Manhattan? Here's right. the thing, Richard. Here's, I like when people like they throw out these kind of old timey expressions as though they've been around long enough, right? And you're right. That's 70 years ago already. Once upon a time, they called the New York football Giants because actually the more famous Giants were the New York baseball Giants, who you just called the New York Giants. They moved to San Francisco in the late 50s. You know, of Willie Mays fame, right? So to make the distinction, you say the New York football Giants. But we continue to say it because it sounds cool. That's why. New York Giants is okay. Every team is the whatever, as you said, the St. Louis Cardinals now or the Los Angeles Rams. Or, but the New York Giants is the New York football Giants. Little extra. I like it. You know, everyone inserts football where it doesn't belong. They have to run the football, also known as the ball, right? Unless we're well, we have to play a complete football game. Okay, I guess that works instead of a complete game. He's really just a football player as opposed to a player because I thought he was a lacrosse player first. I wasn't sure what he was. No, that all that stuff, I get it. But the New York football Giants, no, that's fresh. Can we agree that that's fresh or no? That's why we say it. Richard sounded like he's been around for a while. And he's getting on me for saying New York football Giants. I love saying that. Ooh, I love it. My beloved Big Blue. I'd say the happiest I've ever been. Except for the birth of my children. Although when your kids are born, you're up all night. You're like kind of physically miserable and all that stuff, right? Just in terms of pure joy with very little kind of work to do. The Giants beating the Patriots and ruining that undefeated season, that Eli to Tyree pass is still, it might be the highlight of my life so far. I didn't do anything, but still, when I think of when were the endorphins pumping the most in my life, just like waves of all the pleasure centers in my brain lighting up, you know? Yeah, it might be the Eli to Tyree throw. That might have been the highlight of my life. Although the Manningham pass in the second time around was pretty good too. You know what I love most of all about that? I think of some kid in Boston loving the Patriots, hoping to, hasn't seen him win a Super Bowl because it had been a while, win a Super Bowl. And he's like, this time it's going to happen. And the Giants ruined the undefeated season. And they were about to be called the greatest team of all time. And the Giants ruined it. And then 4 years later, watching that unfold in slow motion, like a train wreck, right? That little kid, now he's 14. This time they're going to get it. And watching the exact same thing happen and the Patriots collapse and the mighty Giants roll to victory again in almost the exact same way. Oh, that makes me feel good. You know what Larry Bird said about Magic Johnson, the best part of winning the championship was? That he knew how Magic was suffering in the other locker room. Think about how psychotic that is. Not the thrill of victory. It was he was enjoying the agony of Magic's defeat. That's how I feel about my Giants. More than even giving me pleasure, it's they caused my enemies suffering, Raj. That's what's so great about them.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. You got questions, and he's got answers.
So what am I going to do here?
This is Max Me Anything.
Let's take a call in Florida to start. Ronald in Florida, you're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go ahead, Max Me Anything, Ronald.
Hey, Max. Okay, here we go, brother. Whose career would you have rather had as it currently stands? Eli Manning's or Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers by far. Because if Rodgers never got a Super Bowl, you could say Eli, because Eli was an average to a tick above average starter in the regular season, though he had an Iron Man streak, which really helps you in the NFL. But in the playoffs, he's one of the all-time greats. But Aaron Rodgers is, at his peak, until I saw Patrick Mahomes, the best I'd ever seen. And by the way, right now, in the middle of Patrick Mahomes' prime, it looks like, Aaron Rodgers is the MVP right now by a little bit. So, and the fact that he has won a Super Bowl, and he's not a guy who plays worse in the playoffs, right? There are some guys like Peyton Manning, Eli's brother, Peyton, greatest regular season player who ever lived, but not great in the playoffs. Do you want to ask me between Eli and Peyton? That's an interesting question. But Eli and Rodgers is easy for me. That's Rodgers. And by the way, the answer for me, Eli or Peyton, I think it's Eli, man. I think I'd rather be the dude who gets much, much better under pressure than the dude who folds. And I know Peyton won two Super Bowls, but the second one, he just, like, he really was just game managing. He wasn't doing anything, and he had a bad year. The first one, he deserves credit for, but he had so many bad playoff performances. Remember when they lost to the Jets? Like 41-0 or something, and everyone's like, well, he has no defense. I'm like, what's 41-0 got to do with the D? It's nothing. I'm talking about the offense. Mark in Brooklyn, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Max Me Anything, Mark.
Hey, Max, how's it going? Big fan. I'm on the Kawhi Leonard bandwagon as well. Just
I don't know
to
if you heard about that bandwagon. It capsized, but go ahead.
Just want to talk about Giannis and the AD comparison.
Yeah.
I hear that Drew Holiday might not be the second player to that championship team, but I don't think the comparison is fair. I think Giannis in any division would be a top four seed, being that he makes his whole team better. I mean, the whole team is just different when Giannis is on the floor.
Well, as opposed to AD, where he's an
ISO player, AD.
Well, listen, AD defensively is a beast. Let's start there. He's an all-time great defender before we even get to his offensive efficiency, which is also one of the best of all time. So if you want to argue Giannis is better by a hair, okay, but it's very, very close. And I think most people right now would take AD. He got the luster of that championship. That championship stink all over him right now. What a show by Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield. Monday Night Football Review coming up. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.